Dustin Poirier and Conor, the Notorious McGregor, will settle the score at UFC 264 on Saturday, July 10th, exclusively on ESPN+. After Conor McGregor defeated Poirier in 2014, Poirier evened the score in January, setting up the most highly anticipated rubber match in UFC history. UFC 264 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99, or sign up to get UFC 264 and an ESPN Plus annual plan for $89.98. Visit ESPNPlus.com/MMA Junkie. That's ESPNPLUS.com/MMA Junkie.
Junkie Nation, it's time to roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Go. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goz reporting for duty here on a Thursday. Happy to be with you here for the next hour. As always, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, Mondays and Thursdays. So if you're watching right now, at this moment, and you look at the clock, actually there's not a clock there, somewhere, and it's noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, you're on with us live, so utilize that chat function. Hang with us here. As we talk about mixed martial arts, we got PFL and Bellator tomorrow night. It's PFL 2021 Week 6, women's lightweight and heavyweights in action. We'll sort out what's what and talk about, you know, who may move on to the semifinals, which is their playoffs. Bellator 261 is upon us. Timothy Johnson versus Moldovsky. The hell is his name? First name again? I almost said Vladimir, but I don't want to just assume. Valentin Moldovsky. They will be fighting for the interim Bellator heavyweight title. And that, of course, is held by Ryan Bader, who's too busy being a Grand Prix participant in their light heavyweight division. That's why they came up with the interim title. Miles Jury and Liz Carmouche also in action. And on Saturday night, it's UFC Fight Night 190 featuring Ciryl Gane versus Alexander Volkov in the main event. Two highly touted UFC heavyweights who definitely factor into the heavyweight scheme, the championship scheme. Not right away, all right? They're not next. It's not a number one contender fight, but it is a big fight for both of them. Of course, the latest news, we'll cover that. Nate Diaz and Kamaru Usman kind of getting into it a little bit. Clarissa Shields is not ready for Kayla Harrison, according to Harrison. Sean Strickland had a little bit of a meltdown on social media against the haters. Giga Chikadze really pushing strong for that matchup against Yair Rodriguez, calling him all sorts of names. So hang with us here for the next hour, folks. It's MMA Junkie Radio on a Thursday, June 24th. Ray Seppa will be our guest, by the way. I'm sorry. Dustin Poirier and Conor, the Notorious McGregor, will settle the score at UFC 264 on Saturday, July 10th, exclusively on ESPN+. After Conor McGregor defeated Poirier in 2014, Poirier evened the score in January, setting up the most highly anticipated rubber match in UFC history. UFC 264 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99, or sign up to get UFC 264 and an ESPN Plus annual plan for $89.98. Visit ESPNPlus.com/MMA Junkie.
President Ray Seppa, I should say. He's the president and matchmaker of PFL. He's not just Ray Seppa. We know him as Ray in the Extreme Couture Gym, but he's Ray Seppa, the president and matchmaker. So he's like the operations guy. He'll join us at 12:40 p.m. Eastern, 9:40 a.m. Pacific. All right, Goz. Well, it's been a few days off.
And I wanted to definitely start off by talking about Max the JRT and just telling everyone thank you for the positive messages you sent us regarding our show on Monday. It was definitely one of the hardest shows, if not the hardest show we've ever had to do. And we got a lot of great feedback, messages, public, private, and they all meant, every single one of them, every single word meant a lot to us. So thank you for that. And if you haven't heard, our Jack Russell Terrier Max passed away this past Sunday. So I know a lot of you don't catch every show or just may not be caught up, and that's exactly what happened. And that's why Monday show was so difficult. Ghost, do you want to share any thoughts on that?
It's still tough. It's still a mess, you know, but it's getting better. Definitely. One thing that, like, it's so tough because you want to be positive, you know, and you look at the impact that he had, not just in our household, but just kind of, I mean, as silly as it sounds, around the world. You know, I was getting messages from places that I didn't even know existed, you know, and to see that people in these countries know who Max is or know what he's about and have memories of him. So a lot of people have met him as well. And a lot of fighters and MMA notables, you know, like, that's so cool to know that there's so many, that dog had that footprint on this earth. And so it's easy to focus on that and be happy about that. But at the same time, it's just difficult to know that for his, whatever joy he's brought the audience at some point in their lives, he did that to us every day. And so that just leaves a gigantic void for us. And, you know, there's going to be ups and downs and all that, but I'm making this dude, he deserves the best, and I'm making him a really cool tribute video. And that's kind of kept me occupied, and hopefully I'll be able to share that with you guys soon. But yeah, I mean, it's tough, man. This house is quiet. It's super, super quiet. I had a breakdown the other day because I heard the seconds hand on the clock, and I've never heard that ever in my life. And I was like, what is that noise? I couldn't believe how quiet the house is without him.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. This won't be the last time we talk about him, but I wanted to really, really start the show off by thanking everybody about everything they said. And I'm sure as we go along, there'll be a lot of things that remind us of them. And sorry folks, we just talk about our dog a lot. You'll see a lot of social media posts. I think I'm gonna have to get more active. I just haven't been able to find the words to post, you know, anything that as I wanted to really give like the true embodiment of what he meant to me. But listen, we have a lot of MMA to discuss. We're gonna finish probably with PFL because again, President and matchmaker Ray Seffel will join us at the end of the show, 12:40 p.m. Eastern, 9:40 a.m. Pacific, to talk about PFL Week 6, 2021. Let's start off with UFC talk. Ciryl Gane versus Alexander Volkov. You know, it's such a tough spot, goes for these fighters. I feel for them. And we'll probably say the same thing about Timothy Johnson and Moldavsky, because you're in this huge limbo, you know? And not to just constantly, like, praise the PFL and bow to the PFL. I love those guys. I love that promotion. And trust me, I know they're sitting there going, damn it, we wish we could have factored Fabricio Werdum a little bit more in this heavyweight division. Win or lose, just factor them, right? But the show goes on, and in August we have playoffs, and in October we have the finals, and that's that. We give a $1 million check to the winners, and that's the way the cookie crumbles. Whereas in Bellator, we're doing this interim title because of what's happening with Bader. And it's not like I don't love the Grand Prix, but still, that is one of the minuses or pros or cons, I guess, to having a champ. Can't be in both places at one time, you know? So that's a mess. And now with UFC, you got Ciryl Gane and Alexander Volkov, which is a quality main event. They're quality heavyweights. They win more than they lose by far. But yet the winner, I can't pin them anywhere and say this is what's next for them, because you got Francis Ngannou, who really wants to fight John Jones, but it looks like they want to give him Derek Lewis, who, by the way, he has a loss to. Then you got Stipe Miocic, the greatest heavyweight ever, who at some point you got to plug in as a rematch. Hey, does he take a fight first, or does he get the winner of either Jones and Lewis versus Ngannou? You know, and all that, like, takes time. I mean, we don't even know when Ngannou's fighting, period, much less who he's fighting, so we can pin it on the calendar and go, okay, August. So the winner could fight in December, and the winner after that could fight in May of 2022. None of that, you know? And I kind of like when big fights have that sort of a meaning, you know what I mean? I don't know whether to call this like a quarterfinal or a semifinal. Curtis Blaydes never falls too far off the tracks. He's only lost to Lewis and Ngannou twice, so he may factor in at some point. You know, I don't know. It's just the most confusing thing. I think I rattled off like six or seven names there of what can happen, and that is frustrating to me as a hardcore fan, a junkie, if you will, who wants to know, you know, what the title picture looks like.
I was just thinking of that maybe you were frustrated because you were looking at it through MMA media eyes, right? Because we need a story to be told, to have things to write about and to talk about. But at the end of the day, I think a lot of people will probably just tune in and go, these are two badass fighters and they're going to fight. And that's going to entertain me for the next 25 minutes. I think some people just look at it that way and they're happy that way. But you're right. It is kind of a matchup that doesn't really tell too much of a story. And it has nothing to do with either guy. Both guys are great fighters. I think if anything, maybe what we can take out of this fight is what do you believe you have for the champion? You know, because we've seen the champion. We've seen some of those contenders fight each other at a high level. What are you going to bring to the table that's going to make us want to talk about you and want us to see you in that position? So I guess you could look at it that way, but you're right. And this doesn't happen that often, but it really is a fight that just doesn't do much. So I think maybe we should just take solitude in the fact that we're fight fans and we're going to see two guys fight and just be happy with that, I guess.
Yeah, and look, I'll circle back to this UFC fight card in and out the show. But on the other hand, look at the big news that's out there where you got Nate Diaz and Kamaru Usman chirping at each other. And it's not unrealistic to think that the UFC could book these guys. You know, it should be Usman versus Covington, at least according to the UFC and what they've been saying. But Gilbert Burns is going to fight Stephen Thompson, you know, and I'm sure the winner of that wants to know where he stands. Eventually, if Masvidal gets a win, and when he wins, Leon Edwards or Colby Covington's a champ, it's hard to deny the UFC's not going to want to feature him against one of those two, you know, because there's some good bad blood there with both guys, you know. And then, of course, there's the aforementioned Leon Edwards. Where does he fit in the whole thing? And all of a sudden, Nate Diaz comes out. And I don't blame Kamaru Usman for going, bitch, shut the fuck up. But seriously, if you want to, sign, because Kamaru's already looking at this going, hey, this is a big fight, you know. And the UFC's in this business, and I'm sure the UFC's probably done stuff to Kamaru Usman along the way where he was like, oh, that sucks. But sure, all right. So when the UFC comes knocking on him, on his door, and says, how would you like a boatload of money to fight Nate Diaz because it would make a lot of money for the company? You down? He's probably like, yeah. You know, and what does he care that he hurts Leon Edwards' feelings or Jorge Masvidal's feelings or Colby Covington? He doesn't. He wants to look out for his little daughter, his family, you know. And I just see the writing on the wall in some divisions, and then in other divisions, I'm staring, man, like one of those 3D images, you know, where they go, stare for 30 seconds, see what you see. And I can't see anything in the heavyweight division. And in the welterweight division, I see a little bit of writing on the wall.
I think you can get away with things like this from time to time. But if you reset a little bit, and let's just say Nate Diaz won that fight, okay, came back and won, he still took a hell of a beating, right? I think a lot of us would say, man, we get that you're trying to make money, but this doesn't make sense, right? That's with that guy winning the fight. Now look at it from the perspective that it's in now. He lost that fight. If they were to give him that fight, it would be the most ridiculous thing of all time. I mean, everything has limits. And I think in the world of WWE, in the world of the UFC, yeah, maybe you could bend those rules a little bit from time to time. But usually the name Conor McGregor is involved when you do that. But to give Nate Diaz a title shot, based off of that performance, I mean, hell, it's almost like a hard sell, even if he went in and mopped the floor with Leon Edwards. I think it'd still be people going, what the fuck? I'm on a huge streak. What's going on here? Who do I work for? What is this? What are these rankings for? So for them to do that would be flat out insane. I don't see it happening at all.
Pretend I interrupted you and I said, go. Stop right there. You're not going to believe this. I just checked and it's all over Twitter. Kamaru Usman will be defending against Nate Diaz. What would be your reaction? Would you be laughing at the hysterical fact that somebody coming off a loss against a guy on a huge win streak is getting the title shot? Would you be angry at the sport, angry at the UFC? How honestly would you feel right now if I told you that just happened?
Probably a little bit of all of those. Mostly angry, though, because, you know, we've spent a lot of 2021 talking about Triller and organizations like that and how it's the wild, wild west and just crazy shit happens. But we're over here trying to take things serious, right, in the UFC. This would be no different than what they're doing over there, right? It's just a cash grab. And this is a legitimate sport that's on ESPN, right? If I go on ESPN.com right now and I look at the markers, I'm going to find MMA. It's got to kind of conform with what's going on in the other sports. If I look at the standings in MLB, I'm not wondering at the end of the season, so who's going to be in the playoffs this year? Who's real popular? Who do people like? I don't do that. I go, okay, these are the best teams, and they're going to be there. You just can't do shit like that. Like, there's ways that you can fudge it a little bit if a guy is somewhat close. But to put in a guy off of a loss for a title shot, you looked so great in getting beat up that we're going to give you the toughest man on the planet. Even though you couldn't get past the dude below him, we're going to give you him. Like, that, how do you sell? I mean, other than just the only way you could sell that is that when they ask you that question on SportsCenter, if you just respond like this. That's the only acceptable response to why did you book that matchup.
And yet, on fight night, when we get to the main event and they show those two guys' mugs, and you hear, na, na, da, you know, whatever, the crowd will go hysterical. They'll love Nate Diaz from the minute they show him walking out, pounding his chest, pacing back and forth, and then Usman comes out, and then buffering out. Everyone will be going crazy, including us on our watch-alongs. And then when the UFC, and then when Dana White says, we sold this many tickets, and the gate was this much, and we broke the record and how fast we did it, and pay-per-views were in the top five, and then he tells us, so media, take that. And we're like, yeah, fuck. We're not arguing that it's not a big fight. It's just not the right fight. Adam Silver probably walks into his office in the NBA offices in New York, and he goes, how did we do? And they give him this report, and he looks, and he goes, and it says the Hawks versus the Bucks, right? That's the Eastern Conference. And the Western Conference is the Clippers versus the Suns. So he's looking at the Nielsen ratings, how did we do on these games or whatever. And guess what? It's not going to be as high as if you had the Lakers, the Celtics, the Knicks, maybe the Spurs, maybe the Warriors because they were awesome the last few years, you know, or those big, big market teams. So it's not going to match up. And for a moment, he's going to go, damn it, if we only had fill in the blank, right? One of those teams and or maybe mm-hmm. one of those players comes out of his mouth. But he's going to hand over the trophy to the rightful best team of 2021, that season. That's the way it works. That's the way the world works, I think. I mean, most of the time, unless there's nepotism, the person that deserves the promotion gets the promotion or the raise or the this or the that. And instead, we can have a possible clown show. Now, to be fair, it hasn't happened yet. That tweet didn't really happen. You know, it's not Nate Diaz versus Kamaru Usman. But we're talking about it. They're teasing it. And like I say, I can see a little bit of writing on the wall. I can hear the graffiti artist shaking the can. You know, and he's already starting to look at the wall and see where he can write N or the 20. You know, you see what I'm saying? Oh, my gosh, goes. That said, I do love trash talk, and I do love them chirping at each other. But for a future bout, you know, for a future bout. And now I will say one last thing. If the UFC were smart and Nate Diaz could get on the card, where Kamaru Usman defends against Colby Covington or Leon Edwards, though I think it's going to be Colby, and he's on the card, and something happens to one of those fighters that they can't make it, and it's fight week, and then Dana says, hey, I had to save the show. We're going to give Nate Diaz a shot. He's put in his time in this sport. He's punched that clock. He's paid his dues. All those cute little sayings. I'd probably go, well, fuck it. What are you going to do? You know, we want a main event. All right, run it. But to plan it out like 3-4 months in advance, no, I don't want that. If he backs into it, okay. But I don't want, I don't want this to be planned out like that. That makes no sense.
But if that situation did happen, of course I'd be okay with it. But my first question would probably be, poor Leon, what happened to him? Right? Because that's where the first call should have went, correct?
Right.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Adam Silver.
They should do Nate versus someone who's already lost to Kamaru, because the first question will go, well, Nate's coming off a loss. What about the other guy? You know, and, you know, Leon, he could say, well, there wasn't going to be enough time to promote Leon, flying him over, you know, COVID. I'm talking about fight week, you know, like on a Wednesday or Thursday, you know, something like that. And I don't want anything to happen to Colby Covington or Leon. I'm just using an example of stuff that's gone down in the past where one fighter just can't make it and they have to make an emergency decision. And then you just go, well, okay, yeah, you know, let's run it.
Mm-hmm. Going back to Adam Silver and even Dana White, the thing that they have in common is at the end of the year, yeah, they might look back and go, wow, we would have had much better ratings if these guys were fighting. But at no point are they going to look at their ledger and go, well, looks like we might have to pack it up now. This was a fun ride. They're going to make a shitload of money. It just comes down to, are they going to make this much money or that much money or that much money? But they're going to make money.
Yeah, no doubt. And guess what? New stars are actually born from situations like this. Like, if Chris Carriasso had beaten, who was it, TJ Dillashaw that he fought when he had to slip in last minute? Or was it Hennenberg? I can't remember. But if he had won and he grabbed the mic and said, listen, somebody had to step up, and I'm sorry I did it in your hometown, Sacramento, but I had to kick your boy's ass. What's up? You know, whatever. Drops the mic and everyone's like, oh, shit, he did not just say that. We got to see the re-. Now all of a sudden you got some sort of a possible star in Chris Carriasso, you know, or anybody else that's been put in that situation late notice where they fill in and all of a sudden they just shoot through the roof and become a star. That's the UFC has this platform where if you play your cards right, you can become a star very, very quickly just off one win, a win streak, you know, something like that. And it happened in front of his own eyes when Nate Diaz beat Michael Johnson and then had that epic call out on Fox about mm-hmm. Conor McGregor. And that's why he recited in his head. And when RDA couldn't go, he was like, well, we could go with Diaz, but he's on a boat with Melendez down in Baja California, or we could go with Cowboy. He always steps up late notice. And then I think either Conor chose Nate or who knows how it went down. But that's the time when he was going, oh, he's not a needle mover. You know, he's not a needle mover at all. And guess what? That fight sells 1.5 million. Guess who's the needle mover now?
Big time. Yeah. One of the biggest movers of all time.
Yeah. It can happen just like that. So anyway, nothing's happened yet, but who do you think got the best of that exchange?
I think the champ. I like when the champ has to, when the champ gets a little gangster. Because if you ever meet Kamaru Usman, he's one of the nicest dudes ever, man. He's a family man. He's a great guy. But there is a little bit of an edge to him. It just has to be pulled out sometimes. And when it comes out, I like it, man. I think it gives him personality. I think it. I think a lot of times when people tune into his fights, they're tuning in to see the other guy, right? I think things are starting to change a little bit where people are starting to like Kamaru Usman, starting to like the way he fights. I think these things help. I would keep doing that.
Yeah. I agree, and the tide is starting to change with Usman. He's now regarded as one of the top pound-for-pound fighters in the world. He's got a lot of respect in that regard. It's well-earned. It wasn't given to him. It was definitely the long road. He's a very, very nice guy. He got, I guess – the benefit of other guys' popularity kind of putting him over. But he would have got there eventually on his own skills and merit. He just took a little bit to warm up to the crowd. Folks, Dustin Poirier and Conor, the Notorious McGregor, will settle the score at UFC 267 on Saturday, July 10th, exclusively on ESPN+. After Conor McGregor defeated Poirier in 2014, Poirier evened the score this past January, setting up the most highly anticipated rubber match in UFC history. UFC 264 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99, or it's time to get that sign up of UFC 264 and ESPN Plus. Get the annual plan for 1 year. It's $89.98. So basically, for an extra $20, you get the whole year of ESPN Plus. And trust me, they got a lot of great content there. Check it out. Visit ESPNplus.com/MMA junkie. Do it that way. All right. ESPN Plus. ESPNplus.com/MMA junkie. That way we get a fist bump from our squad. All right, goes. Anyway, we'll see, you know, if this fight happens. But the fact that it was in the news, I was just reading it going, I can't believe it. And then I said, why can't I believe it? It happens all the time. That is our wacky sport, and that's why we tune in. And that's why you should have the free MMA Junkie app, by the way, because we update the news page all the time, and that this kind of stuff, our guys and gal are all over it.
Can I – I want to – ESPN Plus made me think of something, and that's the new season of Tough. Are you caught up yet? I don't know that you've had the chance to see this last episode, but it was fun, man. And now, finally – the coaches are starting to chirp at each other a little bit. And that, I think, is what's going to really start to make things interesting. But that's another thing you can grab there on ESPN+.
Yeah, I'm caught up through week three. So I just missed this last week. I kind of unplugged a little bit and definitely just wanted, you know, whatever was necessary to be viewed, and I viewed it. But for the most part, I think that process is going to start this weekend. We got three fight cards, I'm the rankings guy, so I got to definitely watch for that. But I did keep up with a little bit of the news because it's our job, and the chatter amongst the team. But I did not watch the episode. I don't mind if you give me a spoiler, because it is about 36 hours since the episode aired, and it's fair to the listeners for them to hear your views. So go ahead, tell me if you want what happened and what happened there with between the coaches and what happened in the fight.
Well, Team Ortega is now 4-0, and as they were waiting to make the announcement for the next fight, Volkanovski was the one that was making the announcement. And he said, I don't remember the exact quote, but something along the lines of, thanks to Brian Ortega being 30 minutes late again, we have to, you know, we can now get on with what we have to do. Kind of like a little jab, right? And then Brian came back at him, and then they started going at it a little bit. But then the coaches started going at it. Michael Chiesa was a guest coach on the Volkanovski side, and Paul Herrera was kind of making fun of that, their team not really coming through. So then Chiesa called him classless, and, hey, why are you taking it on these guys? It's between – this conversation's between them, you know, and it kind of got into a little bit of talk there, but it was interesting. It was a fun episode. You know, of course, you get to get the backgrounds of the fighters, which is a fun thing. And there's a little bit of a leftover from last week with Ryder and I forget what the other guy's name was, but so they plugged a little holes there, huh?
Yeah, the black kid from South Carolina.
Yeah. Starts with a K.
I like that guy. Yeah.
Yeah, they talked a little bit about the fight and stuff.
And you know what? That's a good point by Chiesa. Don't make the team feel bad. This is between the coaches. Mm-hmm. I like that point. I'll have to watch it and examine it. But I do love when things get spiced up. In fact, it reminds me of something else. Go ahead.
Volkanovski did told Ortega, like, you didn't do shit. Why are you mouthing your mouth off? They're the ones that were in the cage, and you didn't do shit, you know, that type of thing. But I have to kind of disagree with that, because I actually have enjoyed Brian Ortega's coaching on this season.
Me too.
And you know, if he didn't do shit, then there would be no reason for him to be there, right?
Right.
So I kind of disagreed with that a little bit. I get where he's going with it. You know, the fighter at the end of the day is the guy that performed. I get that. Maybe not jump in front of the fighter and go, what's up? But you can stand behind them and feel like you were a part of it. Because if you weren't, then there would have been no need for you. You know, everybody would just walk out alone like Mike Tyson's punch out. You got to have a corner.
Yeah, and you know what? The minute Fernandez, I think his name's Joe Fernandez, speaks up on behalf of Volkanovski or speaks up in general, then everybody could tell him, well, you didn't do shit. Why are you talking, you know? Because Volkanovski won the titles. You weren't with him in the octagon. But, yeah, I get it. I love when there's stuff, there's bags, there's digs that make sense, and there's some where you listen to them and go, hold on a second, I can carve that up with a comeback just like that, you know? That's not a good comeback. You didn't do shit. Because, for A, Ortega's coaching has been good. He's really connecting with his fighters. So has Paul Herrera. Tiki Gosen's been doing, you know, chiming in as well. So they are contributing in that regard. But I don't know. Volkanovski wears gold, you know. Like, at the end of the day, he can say a lot. He's a champ, and Ortega isn't. So there's a lot when he can say, like, in terms of if it wants to be one-on-one, you know, don't talk to the champ like that, whatever. You know, just really minor stuff to start things off. Before we get into mom jokes or whatever else, I don't know, however else you want to cut deep. But now I can't wait to watch the episode. And it reminds me of something. Andre Feely saying he just is not going to bow down to trash talk. He doesn't want to do it, but yet he was complaining about the long layoff. And I don't think – I'm not suggesting that the UFC matchmakers go, hey, how about Andre Feely? No, he's not a trash talker. Let's sit him. You know, let's shelve him. I'm not suggesting that, but if Andre Feely was like a Nate Diaz and they go, hey, how about Nate Diaz? I think somebody would go, call him. If he's down to fight, call him. You know, let's get – the more he wants to fight, the better, because he's an attraction. You have to be an attraction. You have to be entertaining in addition to obviously winning. You can't go 0-8 and still be an attraction. So Andre Feely needs to find a balance. You know what I mean? Because he's been in this sport for a while, and I like interviewing him. We've had some fun interviews. But the fact remains, once we're done, we just move on to the next show. With the superstars, you really look at that interview and listen to it and figure out the different angles of what they say, because what they say carries. You know, the waves just keep going and going, and people consume what they have to say. Some of it comes from being controversial or having some street swag or just being unbeatable or whatever. It's a certain formula. You got to work at it. You can't just go, I got a charming personality. Book me, you know, because the UFC doesn't look at it. The UFC looks at dollars and cents.
Yeah, I'm okay with what he said. But what I wouldn't be okay with is maybe complaining after it, because there is somewhat of an algorithm. You've seen it now for years. There are people that can get away with that type of stuff, but it's very few, you know, and he's not one of them. But that being said, like, at the same time, I don't want a guy to just waltz in and pretend like he's talking smack. I mean, that's going to sound goofy, right?
But I don't want guys to drop pro wrestling promos. You know, I don't need woo and styling and profiling and Cartier glass. I don't need all that. Not everyone can pull that off, but at least start with the basic question. Who do you want next? You know, I want to really mix it up with this cat. You could say it respectfully. I've admired him. I've always wanted to share the octagon. Let's spill some blood, whatever. Or you can say, I don't like this fucker. I'm gonna jack him up. Come on, Dana, get it going. Or I'm going to take him out in the lobby. You know, whatever. You can go that way. Or you can go the route of social media. But give us a name. Give us make it look like you're interested in your own career, the future of your own career. You know what I mean? Because you get to some of these guys and gals where when they win, I actually walk out of the room, because, you know, I already know who won. There was a finish or an obvious decision. I walk out of the room, I refill my beer or get a new beer, warm up a slice of pizza, take a leak, tweet, whatever, because I have no interest in what they got to say. They say the same thing all the time. But there's times where fighters lose, like a Nate Diaz, and you can tell he's hanging around, and even though he lost, I still want to hear what he has to say next. I care about him. He's made me care about him. He's tugged on the right heartstrings, or just made me as a fan feel like that's my dude right there. And you can study fighters. You can study past fighters and see what they did, and then add that to how you are as well.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. Yeah.
So I hope Andre Feely really figures it out. Sean Strickland, how about his little meltdown? You know, he wants to slap people in front of their kids. I can't lie, guys. I think I was buzzed when I read it, and I was kind of giggling. Of course, I don't want that to happen. But, man, A, if you ain't got haters, you ain't popping. B, it's the internet. You can't take the internet serious. All right? Especially people that hate. People that say genuinely nice things, I think they really, really care and mean them. I don't think anyone's that devious enough to write something nice about you. And really, it's because they feel the opposite. You know, they write something nice because they wanted to write something nice. But the hate, it's to draw a reaction, or it's just because they maybe haven't felt love in their own personal lives, and that's just kind of how they grow up. You know, I thought that's the way you're supposed to act. Whatever. I don't want to turn into Fraser Crane here, but you got to ignore that. You're a professional fighter, Sean, and I know he had a rough upbringing, and he said MMA saved him. And if it wasn't for MMA, I think he even said he could be in some trouble. But just think of that, you know, think of that in itself and what you've accomplished. You're not in trouble and you're out there performing. And a lot of people become Sean Strickland fans. So work on just being better at Sean Strickland, you know, stop worrying about others.
You know, I don't know how this is going to turn out for him, because in a way, more people know who Sean Strickland is because of that rant, right? I get that. But yeah, it's kind of a no-win situation whenever you're going at these people, because you're kind of giving them the reaction that they want. Because on the MMA side, they are caring about what the troll is saying. On the troll side, I don't think they give a shit if Sean Strickland doesn't like them. You know what I mean? If anything, I think you're creating more of a situation. But it got a lot of likes and a lot of views. And I just don't understand the whole meltdown. Like, I understand that he's upset, but I think at some point you got to realize that nothing good is really going to come out of that situation at all. I read an interesting comment about what happened, you know, the incident. And did you watch the video, by the way?
I did. And I think it had to do a little bit with either what Jamal Hill or the Japanese fighter Murata, you know, the arm injury, or maybe Jacare, who knows? But there's been a lot of serious injuries. And what happens is, after an event, I think a lot of fighters go over some of these techniques, you know, checking leg kicks or calf kicks and what you can do and things like that. And they work to either perfect them from the offense or defend them from the defense. So I just have a feeling that when he locked up his arms, when he was doing the underhooks, he went, whoa, 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 wait a minute, man. You might do to me what happened, you know, in these fights these past few weekends, you know, different versions of it. Because it's like a standing arm bar, you know, he's like ripping it. You know, I've seen John Jones, I think he ripped Glover Teixeira's shoulder out in 2014 or something. You know, he kept pulling on and pulling and pulling it. So it looked like the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu guy, I forget his name, Orlando, I forget his, you know, I think that was his first name, was kind of yanking on it. Strickland didn't like it. And Strickland's point was like, hey, we're not in a real fight. You could get me injured, and I'm headlining a pay-per-view, or sorry, a fight night against Uriah Hall. The other guy's probably telling him, well, this is a really, really good defense to a technique that someone could do to you. Let's learn. So they're clashing. And as you've seen, Strickland's emotional. So yeah, I saw that that's what probably led to this thing.
So somebody had the comment that if people aren't familiar with this gym, it's the Ruka gym. It's in Southern California, and it's not like your typical gym. You have to be invited there. And so it's not necessarily a team, you know, like you would an American Top Team, right? Or a Jackson's MMA or an Extreme Couture or something like that. It's more just a bunch of people coming together. And somebody said, that is the type of attitude that you can expect at places like that, because there is no camaraderie, right? You're not training with this guy day in and day out where you become friends with them, where you can trust that person and learn from that person. We've spoken to a lot of people at our home gym here at Extreme Couture, and they say it takes a while when somebody new shows up to really be able to put your trust in that training partner. And that comment kind of resonated with me, because I think it's true. You know, if you go into a situation like that, you can maybe expect those type of things to happen. As where in Southern California, if you're at a Team Oyama or something, I think that's where the team kind of comes down on you and says, hey, we don't tolerate that here at this gym. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, I can see that. I can see the points on both sides. They both made good points. But the subsequent meltdown, I don't think there's no reason for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't want to say he needs to get his act together, but I really like Sean Strickland. He's got a great comeback story after that horrible motorcycle accident. He's been very active since then. He's gotten, you know, he's made some money, and maybe he can invest it in himself and go on a run. And now he's headlining his own fight night. But don't ruin it by, you know, getting involved in this, and don't lose maybe a potential sponsor. Represent yourself as a professional athlete. All right, folks, in 10 seconds, we're going to be back with Ray Seffo, the president and matchmaker of the PFL. PFL 6 is upon us tomorrow night, June 25th. Kayla Harrison and Cindy Dandois are going to be fighting in the main event. Anthony Pettis is also in that co-main event, as the women's lightweights and the men's heavyweights, along with a few fights in the lightweight and featherweight division. It all gets settled out. We find out who our semifinalists are for this August. You can see the fights starting at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on ESPN+. Then they move over to the Deuce, ESPN2 at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. And there he is, the former six-time kickboxing champion and current president of PFL operations, Ray Seffo. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you guys?
Good, thank you. Man, it's been a fun ride watching 4 and 5, and now we get PFL 6 tomorrow night, and seeing how compelling it was within the standings itself, and seeing the fighters jockey for the four coveted positions that put them in the semifinal. What was it like for you? Did it unfold the way you guys pictured it this year?
Yeah, it did. I mean, you know, all our fighters have come out and understand what's at stake, you know, and just put on the show. I mean, last week's show was unbelievable. And it was just, you know, it's just so great to see everybody just rise to the occasion. So I'm super happy about it.
Yeah, and there's no politics. The results speak for themselves. The point system speaks for themselves. And in the end, you play the hand you're dealt. And then in August, guess what? New stars are created. It's so, like, pure. You know what I mean, right? When the politics isn't involved. I can definitely applaud you guys for that.
Thank you. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know. Again, these guys are in control of their own destiny. You win, you move on. You lose, you go home. You try again and come back another time. So all the fighters love it. I mean, the format works, and it's entertaining for all the fans. But at the same time, it's also the fighters are understanding more and more what's at stake and how they can move on, and, you know, whatever they put in is what they get out. Again, like I said, if they win, they move forward and continue to get closer to the not only the world championship title, but also the $1 million.
Let's talk about the featured bout on tomorrow night's card, PFL 2021 Week 6, Lance Palmer against Movlid Kabulayev. These are featherweights. They're both in play. And you know what's interesting is I think Bubba Jenkins has or Brendan Lochling has three possibilities of whom he may face in the semifinal because of the point system. I think that makes it exciting as well. That's right. But both guys have to get after it and get that win here.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, it's these guys' last opportunity to make the playoffs for 2020. And so, you know, I think they're going to come out blasting. I mean, we talk about Lance Palmer and Movlid. I mean, they're some of the elite fighters in the season, and you know, it's interesting because these guys are both very good on the ground. And so I think it becomes a, you know, a juggling of who's going to keep it staying and who's going to be more active on their feet.
Anthony Pettis versus Roshman Fio in the co-main event. Anthony's guaranteeing he's going to make the playoffs. I love it.
Yeah, no, I heard an interview that he did a couple of days ago where he said, you know, he went back to basics of his training. And he's absolutely right. You know, basics wins fights. And I saw some of his social media posts. And, yeah, he's looking good, looking sharp. And he really wants to be in the playoffs this year.
Ray, as somebody who competed in both kickboxing and MMA, can you relate in terms of the more knowledge you acquired? Of course, it was great to have a lot of tools in the toolbox. But can you use all those techniques in a 15 or 25-minute fight? Is that what you mean about just sometimes you got to use the basics, meaning the hammer, the saw, the stuff that, you know, got you to the dance?
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, Anthony has been dynamic, has been fancy, but he's also had been, you know, straight down a barrel, basic fighter where he comes out and literally just goes to work. And I think that's what we're going to see with Anthony tomorrow night is he's understanding more and more that, you know, to get to the playoffs, he's got to make sure that this is a dogfight. But at the same time, you know, don't waste too much energy on all the fancy stuff. And so it's so good. He's very good at doing all those other things. With spinning hook kicks and jumping off the cage. Listen, that's what made him a star. But I think your bread and butter is your basics.
Ray, all these new fighters that have come over, they have so much experience in multiple organizations. Have you spoken to them? Have they ever given you like a, this is what has really stood out about PFL for me, whether that's a wake-up call or something just different, a different feeling. Have they all ever shared that with you? What's that one thing that stands out?
Yeah, a lot of them, they love, I mean, listen, a massive thank you and a shout out to all our PFL staff who's been in the bubble, who's made it easier for all these guys. A lot of fighters have pointed out that being well-treated, that they anything they needed was provided for. And if not, we would do the best we can to try and get it. So, you know, they've been really, the feedback has been really positive in terms of their bubble stay. Obviously, our first bubble was a little bit longer. We made some adjustments because we knew a lot more being in that first bubble. We made adjustments for this bubble, which was a week less. And so, of course, from this, we're going to make more adjustments as we go to the playoffs. But you know, the fighters, they love what T-Way and his team is doing in regards to what they need, and just everybody else, just everyone in the PFL has, you know, worked so hard to make sure that these guys are well looked after. And so the feedback has been positive. And also the fact that, you know, this has made them hungry because they realize that this is not just a one fight or two fights a year. They got to, you know, fight throughout the season to get to the playoffs, to get to $1 million, to get to the championship. So it's very positive getting all this feedback from the fighters.
I love speaking to you, whether it's on the show or in person, because you're one of the only people I know that can do two things at one time, right? I know you're listening to me, and I know you're going to give me a response, but I also know that you're like a computer and you're running things in your head. Like, I know that when you see people fight, when you see them train, you can tell right away, like, what it is, what's going on and what they're thinking. And we haven't spoken to you since Clarissa Shields had her big win, but I was curious, the first time you met with Clarissa, I know that as she was speaking, you were doing that math equation. Does this girl got it, what she needs for MMA? Now that it's all said and done, can you share, like, what did you see in her eyes, in her attitude? How did all that play out?
I just saw this this fighter that, number one, I mean, I knew about her background being a two-time Olympian, being a three-time boxing world champion. I mean, she's probably the most decorated boxer in the history of boxing, especially having to win 2 gold medals and then winning 3 world boxing titles. And so just talking to her, I could just see this fire. I could see this hunger to try something different. And, you know, I saw a little bit of me in her too, in the sense of, you know, kickboxing, and then wanted to try boxing, wanted to try MMA, and did it. And so I think with her, the whole relearning of learning jiu-jitsu and wrestling and grappling and whatnot, it's actually motivated her even more so. The fact that she can actually start to throw kicks and, you know, all these new things that's getting her excited and being part. And then, you know, obviously, I was really impressed with her debut because she was in a little trouble in those first 2 rounds. But she was so composed. By the second round, I could see how she was, you know, trying to figure out things, staying calm, being composed there. And then, of course, she gets to the corner. And Greg and Winger John just basically, you know, gave her some good advice, and she came out and finished the fight. So it's really, I mean, she has a massive future in MMA, especially when she, number one, she's training some good people, and number two, her attitude about fighting is about being a champion. And so when you got all that and the skills and the talent to go with it, the only way is up for her.
You sort of answered my next question, but I think you might be able to elaborate a little bit more on it. If you look up and down the roster, who's the one fighter that reminds you the most of you?
I would probably, as a heavyweight, would say Bruno Caboloza, because he's fast, he's explosive, still young in his MMA career. But yeah, I think there's a mixture of a little bit of Anthony Pettis, a little bit of Caboloza, a lot of the guys that we have.
I like it. All right, let's finish with Kayla Harrison versus Cindy Dandois in your main event. You know, Kayla is talking about this one's going to be a difficult fight for her. It sounds like this one could be tough for her mentally and physically. We always talk about Kayla's physical skills, but on the mental side, I mean, how strong is this Olympian? How focused is this? Is this one of the most focused athletes you've ever dealt with?
Absolutely. You know, Kayla, again, you know, very similar mentality as Clarissa, you know, come from a tough background in terms of like just grinding from day one right to the Olympics. To the gold medal, not only one, but 2 of those gold medals. So she understands what it takes to be a champion. She understands what it takes to compete at the highest level. And so I think with her, I've never seen her mental being questioned, if you will. I mean, from her. Now, she might do that on her own on the time, but I've never seen that, and I've never heard that. She has any sort of doubt. Like, you know, I see a lot of, I've heard her in many interviews when she comes across very confident. She fights very confident. Another person that, that when that bell rings, she comes to fight. And Kayla is, Kayla knows how to be champion, knows how to win, knows how to get to the top. She's done it many a times. And so this is maybe in some ways that's her trying to kind of just keep things leveled, if you will. And so I don't see any, you know, breaking her armor or her mental preparation, because she's been there, you know, time and time again. So I think it's going to be an interesting fight. Now, that being said, you know, Cindy is very, very strong on the ground. And so I think it's just a matter of test of wills, if you will, and a test of skills as we see this fight going. I don't know, you know, I see, we've all seen Kayla take this fight to the ground, you know, or take fights to the ground. I'm not sure how she's going to approach this one because Cindy is very good on the ground. So, you know, we could see a little bit more of Kayla's stand up in this fight.
Cindy Dandua definitely needs to be taken serious. She's got wins over Megan Anderson, Marlies Konnen, and Yorina Bars, former Dutch kickboxing champion. And so she's risen on to the occasion many a times. It's going to be a great main event between Kayla Harrison and Cindy Dandua. PFL week 6 of 2021. This is the last of the regular season fight cards, folks. Tune in. It all starts at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on ESPN+. Then they move over to ESPN2 at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. This is Ray Seppo, the president and matchmaker of operations for PFL. And it's been fun breaking down these top fights from the fight card. Thank you, Ray, as always, for the time. Good luck. I hope you guys have a great show. We'll definitely be watching the standings, the picture-in-picture of the fighters that are about to be in or about to be out. You've made it very compelling on fight night for us.
Yeah, no, thank you guys. But, yeah, it's going to be exciting because, you know, people, you know, and that's why people got to tune in and watch us so they can kind of see all the, you know, breakdown of it all and who gets to come through. Does it go to tiebreakers, all that kind of stuff. So it's fun.
For sure. All right, sir. Thank you so much for the time, and we'll talk to you soon. All right.
Take care.
See ya. There he goes, Ray Seppo, also known as James Bond on the streets. It's tomorrow night, folks. I know they've been fighting on Thursdays, but tomorrow night it's PFL and Bellator. Either grab that laptop and your TV, or if you're like us and you got multiple TVs, just tune in. One's on Showtime, the other one's on the ESPN Plus and ESPN Deuce, part of the ESPN family. So check it out. Also, quick note, thank you to my conciliary, Gally from Toronto. It was Chris Carriasso fighting as a flyweight against Demetrius Johnson. I butchered that, but I think the example stands. Had he beaten the great Mighty Mouse, trust me, you know, I'm not sure he's a world superstar, a global phenomenon, but he's definitely more on the map, you know, when you take out a legend like that. And folks, Dustin Poirier and Conor the Notorious McGregor, it's happening, folks. They're going to settle that score soon. UFC 264 on Saturday, July 10th, exclusively on ESPN+. Remember, after Conor McGregor defeated Poirier in 2014, Poirier evened the score this past January, setting up the most highly anticipated rubber match in UFC history. UFC 264 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99. Or sign up now to get UFC 264 and an ESPN Plus annual account for $89.98. I think I like that one. I like the latter. That's the better one of the two because for an extra $20, you get ESPN Plus for the whole year. A lot of original programming there. And of course, The Ultimate Fighter, a lot of past fights and other sports too, folks, not just MMA. What are you waiting for? Visit ESPNplus.com/MMAJunkie.
I love it because I love to use it on my Xbox because I love doing the multicast and watch different games, soccer games, especially like right now with the European Cup going on. I like to do multiple things at one time. But I can't miss my MMA.
Me too. And remember, on Friday night, we got Timothy Johnson versus Valentin Moldovsky. The winner will become the interim champ in the heavyweight division for Bellator. Of course, the winner will face Ryan Bader when they unify the undisputed and the interim title. But basically, what it does goes, I guess, is, you know, a lot of people don't like the interim titles in the sense of, well, I'm not really the champ. We've seen some fighters obviously either take the belt or take it and refuse it by just, you know, putting it on the ground or whatever, however you want to interpret what they're doing. In the end, I think it still means something to them, but it locks you in to basically the title shot versus the undisputed, you know what I mean? And in the UFC, obviously, it counts for pay-per-view points. At Bellator, I'm not sure how it works, but at least it locks in the winner of Moldovsky versus Johnson against Ryan Bader when it's time for Ryan Bader to defend. Bellator can't play any other games and say, well, you know, we're going with Bellator versus someone else. Oh, sorry, with Bader versus someone else. It locks them in.
Uh, Do you want to end today's show with a little bit of crossover? And what I mean by that is we do a segment on our Triple G show. It's another podcast that we do on Patreon called Touch of Gloves. And I kind of wanted to do a couple of those, if you don't mind, if we got time for that.
I do, but I do want to just say one last thing. Do you want Giga Jakadze versus Yair Rodriguez on July 17th? Or are you okay for just waiting for Rodriguez versus Holloway? Hopefully it's not too far in the future and finding Jakadze another opponent. Because I like Jakadze staying busy. He gets down. You know, like I've learned to really like the guy. What are your thoughts there?
When it comes to Yair Rodriguez, I just want to see him fight when he's healthy. I feel like sitting back and waiting is just tempting the gods. So I would rather see him fight Giga.
Okay. You know, I think so too. And then we deal with the future, whatever the future is. I don't know how many times I can tell you I've heard someone say, you know, you were originally supposed to fight Max Holloway. Are you still interested in that? And I just don't see how Yair would say, oh, no, now that I've beaten Jakadze, if that would happen, now that I've beaten Jakadze, I'm beyond Holloway. No, that ain't happening. So you could still have that fight at some point. But I actually like that Jakadze wants it so bad and wants to step up. He's on a roll. He deserves it. And that's how the guys that are down below start to work their way up. You got to break into that crazy triangle of Holloway. You know, it used to be like Holloway, McGregor, Aldo, and then Edgar was involved. And now it's Ortega, Volkanovski, and Holloway to break in there. You got to give some of these other guys a chance. And that's a stacked division. So we need activity. I'm glad you felt that way, Goes. We'll talk about Jake Paul and Anderson Silva more on Thursday show. All right, let's finish with what you said. Let's touch a glove. Let's do some feel good stories.
Yeah, so Touch of Gloves is basically, we do our stun gun segment, which we also still do, but Touch of Gloves is the reverse. It's when you kind of acknowledge somebody that did something good. And this week we've just been surrounded by, you know, obviously a lot of negative things have happened, but a lot of positive people came to bat. And I just want to shout a couple people out. First and foremost, on Sunday, the staff at Durango Animal Hospital, I can't thank them enough. Max's doctor, DJ Pryor, was phenomenal, coming in on his day off to help us out with that, and just always being there with questions to answer for little Max. And then on Monday, George and I were supposed to do Spinning Back Click, and that segment is so much about energy. And we just didn't have it, guys. I mean, those of you that listened to the show on Monday, you know that it was hard for us to get through that. So coming back and doing Spinning Back Click would have been, I'm sure we might have been able to get it done, but it just wouldn't have sounded well. And thank you to Danny Segura and Nolan King for coming in and saving the day and stepping in for us in that segment. We really appreciate that. Touch of gloves to them. And then I want to thank Laura, my girlfriend. She took care of a lot of things that normally I would have to take care of. Thoughts that I had in my head of bringing things, I didn't have to do that because I trusted her, and she was able to kind of put people in comfort and all that. And so I want to thank her. John Romero, a lot of people reached out, and I really appreciate that. But John, a listener of our show, a longtime listener, said something very interesting. And he started his message off by, I normally don't know what to say in these situations or if it'll do anything. And I instantly thought, you know what? It really doesn't matter what you say. It's just the fact that you reached out and texted me and let me know that you know that I'm hurting and that's also hurting you. And so really, whatever you say is just gravy, because it's that thought of hearing your phone go off and seeing somebody's name and knowing that somebody cares that you're going through pain. And a lot of you did that. It's not just John, but I just thought there's a lot of people, myself included, that when there's a tragedy, sometimes you just want to sit back and let that person get through it and just kind of leave them alone. But it does also feel good to know that people are out there and that they care. And Sam Alljam and Richard Hunter, they stepped up this week and they did all our Patreon recordings, and they did a really good job, and they did a very nice tribute to Max as well. So I want to thank them for that. And then lastly, Cold Coffee. He was the first person that I was actually able to have a conversation with and not completely break down. And he's been through tragedy himself too. You know, he didn't have a very good 2020 and 2021. And so we related a little bit on that, and he had some very kind words and good advice. And so it was a lot of people, and I'm sure, you know, of course our bosses at USA Today, Chris Perrone, Simon Simano, everybody's been very understanding, because I think a lot of people, there's some people out there that I wouldn't say they're animal haters, but they're not animal lovers, and they may not understand what it is we're going through, because it's just difficult to relate what loss of a human versus a pet might be if you don't have a pet and if you haven't been through something like that, especially in George and I's situation, where this is a pet that we had 17 and a half years. So for all those people to be as understanding as they've been, John Morgan said some really nice things. I just appreciate it. I really do. And I'm trying to answer everybody, and I think I've done a pretty good job of it, but I'm not done. But I do want to know that if for some reason I missed your text or your social media post or something, it just, all of this means a lot to me and George, to our family. And I just want to give a touch of gloves to all you guys for really letting us feel like, letting you guys be a part of our family and us be a part of your family, because we forget that every day, you know, our voices are being played in your house, and that creates some kind of bond between us, and we appreciate everything. And so, yeah, touch of gloves to all those people.
Well said, Ghost. I'll probably speak more of this, like I say, on social media once I get back to Vegas and settle down. I wanted to collect the right pics and vids to throw up there, because it was rough. Ghost held it together, definitely for all of us. And then I think once some time had passed, a few hours, a few days, I think he's had his meltdown. I had a meltdown on the freeway. I'm thankful for my mom for being there on the drive home, and I'm thankful for Juliet for being with me the last few days. They've been great in terms of saying the right things and just letting me be a big baby. But yeah, I agree and concur with everything. The messages have been very, very nice. I've seen the posts on Goza's social media, and a lot of you have reached out to me as well. I'm very thankful for them. And we appreciate you guys for taking the time to do that and saying the kind things about our dog.
Yeah.
Enjoy the fights all night. Was that it, Goz? Did you want to say something else? Or?
No, that's it. Just thank you to everyone. You guys have been phenomenal.
I want to thank Ray Cepho for his time today. Cepho's promotion, PFL. They have their fight card tomorrow on ESPN Plus and ESPN 2, and it all starts at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. And then same night, Scott Coker has Bellator 261 for you all. Check it out at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, for their fight card that has an interim heavyweight title at stake, Valentin Moldovsky and Timothy Johnson. And, of course, UFC Fight Night is the next night. Sorry, I think it's 190. I don't have it off the top of my head, but it's a UFC Fight Night, and it includes Cyril Gane versus Alexander Volkov. That's your main event, so check that out. And, of course, MMA Junkies got you covered throughout the week for all of the weigh-ins, all the latest news, all the results, all the subsequent news that comes out of all of these fight cards. So shout out to the team for that and being so strong in the department. And that's why MMA Junkie is the best website out there for covering mixed martial arts. So tell a friend about it, all right? And tell them about our fabulous app, free on all tablets and smartphones. Check out our YouTube page, youtube.com/MMAJunkieVideo, and includes more work of that goes and I do outside of the show, including interviews with some of the top MMA fighters and MMA notables, and our participation in video franchises like Legend to Legend, Rankings Report, and, of course, the uber-popular Spinning Backlick. Goes, one last thing. As I was scanning the channels here, trying to find where I could see the Vegas Golden Knights,
I came across Burt Watson interviewing Quentin Rampage Jackson on USA Today Sports presentation. But this thing is so complicated that we took some pictures, but I got to go back and find exactly how to get it and all that. But we've heard this before where people are able to watch it on certain Roku systems. It's a channel out there, and apparently they really like the long form interview format. So it was really, really cool to see, and it brought a smile to my face. But for now, folks, we're going to bow on out of here. Enjoy your day, enjoy your weekend, and always be a champion. See you soon. See you on Monday.